from HanselMinutes.com, it's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman, hosted by Carl Franklin. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 94, recorded live Friday, December 21st, 2007. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik RAD Controls, the most comprehensive suite of components for Windows Forms and ASP.NET web applications. Online at www.telerik.com. Support is also provided by .NET Developers Journal, the world's leading .NET developer magazine. Online at www.sys-con.com. In this special holiday episode, Scott rolls the tape as a technical discussion with Chris Sells and Rory Blythe degrades into pure pulp. Sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman, and this is another episode of Hansel Minutes. This very well may be the worst episode of the year, but since it's the end of the year, that's okay. We'll start next year fresh. I'm sitting in here in my home office with Chris Sells and of Microsoft, who is laughing at me.
I feel so motivated to do a good job now, and I love the way you've motivated your listeners to pay special attention.
By lowering their expectations early on in the show.
What does that mean?
Well, you were shaking the mic, and it was distracting, and I think it's going to result in a poor recording.
Wow. Sound geeks.
That is Rory Blythe to my right. Rory, formerly of Microsoft, now gainfully unemployed.
I don't know if gainfully is the right word. Happily unemployed, I think, would be the right way to put it. I work in my basement, and I spend pretty much all hours of the day writing, recording, videoing.
You don't have a basement?
Well, I live in the basement, Chris.
Okay.
So it is technically my basement. I could dig a hole and get lower down. It might be a cellar, but yeah, I do live in a basement.
So I am now stupider for having heard that exchange.
Well, we're living up to that bar you set at the very beginning of the show, Scott.
Well, it's a holiday. It's a holiday show.
I see.
Next week, I'll be interviewing my dad. So, how are you, gentlemen? People are thinking that this is an episode of Carl Franklin's Mondays as opposed to Hansel Minutes. Let's not waste their time. Rory.
Yeah, we blew that bar.
This is
already.
Like the McLaughlin Group. Rory, most important thing in technology today.
It's
wrong. It's Windows Media Server. Next try. All right. Seriously, are you coding at all, Rory?
It's not exactly that I'm coding. I stopped coding really professionally a few years ago. But what I am doing right now is I've been using my Mac all the time, and I find Objective-C cumbersome and irritating. I'm sure the Mac guys love it because after so many years of their other messed up languages and APIs, it's the greatest thing in the world. But I've been writing back and forth actually with the Apple Tools developer team. And I've been trying to urge them to create a Python-like language so that people can get a much higher level access to simplified abstracted layer over the top of Cocoa.
Isn't that what AppleScript is? Don't they already have that?
AppleScript is like, you actually type it in English. You know, could you please go get me a file? And it doesn't make sense. I can't stand it. It's like SQL, but even higher level. I don't like that. I want a bit of structure. I want some indentation. I want some consistency, and I want access to the Cocoa libraries or to an abstracted, simplified layer over the top of the Cocoa libraries. And I'd like to see a better GUI designer.
So now we're into the Hansel Minutes of it all. But what is the Cocoa libraries?
Okay, the Cocoa libraries is the, well, they're called Cocoa now, but technically they are left over from the Next Step days. So it's a framework, not at all unlike the .NET framework, through which you access all the various functionalities of OS X. And each class actually begins with NS, going back to Next Step. This stuff is old, but a lot of Mac developers don't seem to know that. So they're very excited, really hopped up about it, where I find it frustrating. Sometimes want to scream. And Objective-C is just weird, although it's better than C++ in my opinion.
So Objective-C is the language that they're programming in, and do they have a garbage collector, or what's the lifestyle like?
Okay, so with version 2 of Objective-C, it's only taken like 50 years to get it, but with version 2, they've gone from reference counting to garbage collection, which I thought was a nice little move, because Chris, you could probably correct me all over the map about this, but it seems like reference counting is not too far, or I should say garbage collection is not like a huge long cry from reference counting.
Well, so reference counting is one form of garbage collection. I assume they're using some variation of mark and sweep garbage collection in Objective-C 2.0, but I don't actually know.
Well, in the previous version, I'm talking about a fully manual, of course, just reference counting.
You mean they didn't even track object references for you?
Right. You had to do it yourself, which was so pointless. As Chris asked, it was manual reference counting, which was frustrating because you're sitting there, you realize what you're doing. It all happens in that, you know, first in, first out kind of irritating way where you just look at it and you think this should be happening automatically. So when I went and I was trying to mess with Objective-C and Coco and manual reference counting, I got really, really irritated. Plus, there's a GUI builder that makes absolutely no sense to me. Everything is done using, what is it, model view controller.
And the interface builder.
Right. But for a simple app, that's such overkill. It reminds me of messing with Swing, where you can't just have a control. You've got to composite everything yourself. You can't even have a freaking scroll bar without adding it and coding against it. It's irritating.
Well, this just sounds like, I mean, this doesn't sound like horribly controversial. This seems like this was MFC. And you've got resources that have dialogues, and you've got the document that talks to the view.
Well, MFC was really, it was the view and controller were unified, and then we had the document. So it was really document view.
Document view, yeah.
Sure.
But I'm just saying that, so, you know, they have dialogue resources to worry about, and they have, you know, it doesn't seem too much like VC, too much unlike Visual C6, which was not necessarily a dark time, but it,
well,
you know.
Well, so MFC was actually built almost before C++. I mean, C++ itself had a bunch of features that were still under development while they were building MFC. So MFC duplicated a bunch of those features in as library features. And so if you wanted to use those features like type information, right? If you wanted to use type information at runtime, that was a library feature in MFC, as well as eventually a C++ feature as part of the language itself. So it sounds like exactly what you're talking about there. That's an excellent analogy. It also sounds a lot like Objective-C on the Mac with the Next Step stuff sounds a lot like C++ in COM, right? You built a bunch of layer classes, and you didn't program against the thing because the thing was too ugly, so you programmed against a layer on the thing. And what you're saying, and of course this is always better, right? You want to – this is what happens over time, right? We adopt a set of features that we like, and we first build them in libraries to see if we like them. And the languages don't support them directly. And then we push them into the language itself. I mean, you can see that in every actively developing language, right? This is a good thing. And eventually what happens is the languages get simpler. We move from things like C++ to C#. And then, of course, C# itself is evolving over time and it's getting better and getting more features, right? For example, the link stuff is a dream. It's a joy to work with. And that was the thing that didn't exist, right? That kind of programming style, functional programming in .NET didn't exist until then.
On last week's show, I had Paul Vick on, architect of VB,
mm-hmm.
and I asked him how was it controversial for him to get XML literal support into the language? I mean, because at that point, you're taking the pure, you know, the quote-unquote purity of some programming language and then tying it to some thing, in this case, angle brackets and the whole concept of XML, and he thought it was very pragmatic. And he felt like he was walking a little bit of a tightrope between a purist point of view and a pragmatic point of view, but always leaning towards the pragmatist.
So I can
hold
see
on,
that.
Hold on.
And I've heard.
Yeah, just be quiet for a minute. There sounds like I got some stuff to say, right? To both of you guys, you were talking about, Scott, how this is not a total disaster. Those weren't the words he used, but.
The show or the language?
The language. the problem is, if I want to write a quick and dirty little app, just a utility to do anything, any little thing I want, for example, you use Stickies on your Mac, right?
Stickies, the little applet that lets me see post-it notes on the screen.
Right. Okay. You can't, without doing it manually, have separate Stickies databases. Where I like to have a bunch of Stickies that I save and then I archive and then I start over with a whole new set of Stickies. So I wrote an app several years ago that did this for me, right? But I don't want to go back and do it again because just to do that was so cumbersome. And I want to see something where I get to use a language, like I say, that's like Python. I want to have a simple high-level language that forces some sort of aesthetic standard while giving the functionality and the simplicity of being able to code against the framework without having to worry so much about anything. I hate includes. I hate them. I am so sick of having to see include, SCDIO, anything. I don't want to see this stuff. This is like so 1942. It's just...
Well, how is that different than saying using system.xml?
Because using system.xml makes sense to me. It's
okay. So this, you've just completely obsoleted the last 15 minutes of this podcast because Macs don't make sense to you, is what you're saying.
Well, That's exactly what I'm saying. And I think that that's why I haven't, to use your word, obsoleted the past 15 minutes of this interview. The idea is that I understand it makes sense to somebody, but I want to see a system that's modern. I don't want to see a system like any other weird, hacky C language. It's all built on top of C, right? It's all ultimately just plain old C. I hate that. That just pisses me off. I want to see something new and simple and pleasant. And yeah, they've got Real Basic out there so that if you really want to, you can use Visual Basic 6 style language, which nobody wants because it's that irritating mix of procedural and object-based programming that never goes away, and you don't know where anything's coming from. You have no idea where these functions lie. You don't know what's an object. You don't know what's a function that's sitting in some weird library that gets included automatically. Oh, no. Oh,
okay, so hang on. I'm taking the microphone away from you. So I'm sorry. All I heard there was that you don't think Objective-C is a good thing for Mac people to build their platform on. Well, they can use Mono and C# and Cocoa Sharp or whatever.
Or, you know, C++ or Python or Ruby or...
But I want to see a nice officially supported dev system from Apple. And there's several reasons why I think they might not do this. One, it's that it takes a while, obviously, to create a development platform.
They have several officially supported.
Excuse me, Cells. I'm talking here, Cells. I'm talking. So I want to see an officially supported solution out there. And
it's called Xcode.
Oh, stop it. So but the problem is that I think if there were an easier way to develop apps, then people might flood the market with their third-party apps and wind up with another totally diluted...
Yeah, I don't think that's the reason that the Macintosh isn't
all right, well,
flooded with third-party apps.
I don't think that's the reason either, Sales, but I'm just saying that's something to think about because the OS X community is still pretty nicely done. And if you want a good app, you can find one, okay? I don't want to have to go to CNET and trudge through thousands of applications to find that one FTP client that I think is going to be all right, okay? So, there you go. You can talk again.
Fetch.
So with all due respect to Rory, and I feel that we've now offended the 4 Mac listeners that are listening to this show. Thank God that... I would like to say this, though. I will go personally down to Panic headquarters. Panic is the maker of Transmit, the greatest and only FTP client. And I will sit down and do a podcast with my friend, Stephen Frank, who I went to college with, who is the co-owner of Panic, writer of Transmit and Statu and Coda, and talk about Objective. We'll do a Mac show by someone who actually makes a living and has a company of 11 people working on Mac stuff in Objective-C. And we'll see if he agrees with the pain and the horror and the kind of post-apocalyptic wasteland that you have painted for us, Roy.
One more thing. The thing is, though, Mac guys, and Chris could probably tell you this, coming from Carbon, for example, anything is going to look better, right? So Mac guys think that Cocoa is this wonderful dream where they've got this great modern language, but
So Carbon is the thing that they call the old Mac toolbox, right?
Right, and it was also the bridge between 9 and 10 back in the day.
So I programmed on the Mac toolbox, and it was... When I was moving from the Macintosh as my user interface and Unix as what I programmed in for a living, and I moved to Windows 3.1, it was a shock to say the least.
Let's not bring Windows 3.1
into
this.
Hang on.
This is historical context. This is important, right? You're only 12 years old. You don't know these things. And people, adults like Chris and myself, need to talk about the historical context in which these things exist. Please, Chris, continue.
I don't know if I want to be put into the category of adult here, but what I'm saying is that the only thing I could stand about Windows was the API. Win32 is an API compared to GUI programming under Unix, compared to GUI programming on the Mac, was at least 10 times better, and the tools were always better, and now with C# and .NET, I don't know what they have over there, but it's hard to imagine it getting too much better.
I wouldn't agree with that at all. Like I said, it still feels like Swing to some extent, which drove everybody insane who ever had to use it, except for the diehard Java people who don't know any better. And again, the other thing I'm not arguing is that the Mac people just don't know the difference. They've been dealing with the old messy.
I think
APIs.
We're agreeing. You're saying
agreeing?
The programmatic API to the Macintosh sucks.
I think you agree.
And I was saying that I much prefer the Windows way of programming GUI Macintosh one.
Okay, well, here's the deal, though. I tend to discount most of what you say because I'm Chris Sells. I wrote com with my pinky and notepad. It's just you're not a reliable source of information about what's easy, what's difficult, what makes sense, and what doesn't.
You heard it here, folks. Chris Sells, not a reliable source of information about computers.
Wow, I went from adult to that. I don't think you can't get any worse.
I'm glad that you've discounted most of what Chris says. Wow. Let me see here. That's 15 minutes. I think it's a little early to stop the show.
Well, we haven't said anything yet.
We haven't actually created any
problem.
Content. This is really, really the worst show of the year.
I think you're right.
We're still there.
This is what I specialize in. This is what I do.
Leaving a trail of slime.
a trail of destruction. I feel like if people learn something from me, then I haven't done my job.
And again, I'm stupider for having heard that. No, Rory and Chris and I, we're not close at all. We rarely see each other.
I still can't get over that. Your first date with your wife lasted 3 weeks.
It was a really good date.
I'd say, wow.
She's a really nice lady. I like her a great deal.
Not only did it last 3 weeks, it's not like you met and then you couldn't bear to be parted for 3 weeks. No, you planned it. You'd never dated before. And he said, I know, let's take a 3-week cross-country trip as our first date. And then she said, what a good idea.
We did not initially set it out as a date. It was just friends. See, we went across the country. We went on a cross-country trip, Portland to Denver, Denver to Arizona. We fell in love around Detroit.
Well, you're downtown Detroit.
You fell in love in Detroit because all you had left was each other.
Yeah,
that's what happens in a place like Detroit.
You're huddled under a pylon. I love you. Oh, I love you too.
I have dedicated listeners in Detroit, and I love them, and I don't want those listeners to feel in any way alien because I'm a nice guy. And I will never say anything bad about lovely downtown Detroit.
What's the first thing anybody from Detroit will tell you? They'll tell you, don't stop in downtown for anything. Run all the red lights. Don't even stop for the cops. They're dangerous too. And these people, just as much as you and your wife, these people probably run little tribes. It's like, it's beyond Thunderdome out there is what I'm saying.
I was actually, this is a true story. We were actually staying in an 1897 old Victorian, former crack house, actually in Detroit, a friend of ours.
A Victorian crack house from the period.
Yes, an 1887 authentic Victorian crack house.
It was a period level crack house. It was a historical crack house. But my wife's friend would take these multiple houses and basically buy them up for like a dollar on an auction, strip them down and rebuild them up again and turn them from crack houses into,
like heroin or methadone.
No. No, they would put like missionaries and stuff in there. It was a Habitat for Humanity thing. And we were watching, Sliding Doors with Gwyneth Paltrow and
good flick
and fell in love and then wow. And got married 3 months later. But thank you for cheapening my first date with my wife.
Oh yeah. If you think I was cheapening it, you just missed the hand gestures that Rory was using. Okay,
well, hold on. This is so not where I want my show to be. Yeah, well, no. I promise a fresh all new format for 2008.
No, because Sliding Doors, Gwyneth Paltrow and Minnie Driver. See what I'm talking about?
I don't even remember her in that movie. And I'm a Minnie Driver fan. I mean, I just watched Gross Point Blank the other day. So
I did too. I got it on Xbox Live, actually. I got it on the Xbox download movie thing. I'd never seen it.
Doesn't that movie rock?
It rocks because of John Cusack. And have my John Cusack Say Anything poster inside that. My wife would let me put
actually,
it up.
You know what? Now that I think of it, the best scene
in that movie. It's in that closet.
The best scene in that movie so reminds me, him of you. Me of you. Of him.
The best scene in the movie reminds...
Me of you.
Scott of who?
John Cusack. Because
John Cusack reminds like, you of Scott Hanselman.
Yes, in this one scene. Because he's so anal during the conversation.
Oh,
that,
great.
So Minnie Driver's like...
Oh, come on. We're all jerks here, but come on.
No. You remember when...
Oh, no.
Anal's the wrong word. I want to say precise.
Oh, no.
Precise is the word I want.
This is Lloyd Dobler you're talking about.
So Minnie Driver's like...
Oh, no, this is Gross Point Blank.
Yes. How come there are things that you didn't, learn that are wrong, right? You just don't kill people in a civilized society.
Hold on. He was just doing his job, and he did it dispassionately, I should say. But I thought he was a professional.
So this is the woman he loves about to walk up the door, and he has to say the right thing to get her to stay, right? And what does he do? He starts correcting her historical perspective. Right. What societies are we talking? What civilizations are we talking about? Governments are just a PR theory at this point. And she walks out the door.
You think there's one guy in this room who would not do that?
No, you're right. It's not just Scott. We're
I
all
think
there.
It's fair to say that every one of us would say, what society? The Ottoman Empire? What are we talking about?
Which of us in this room could possibly resist getting to correct somebody on anything? We're all pedantic. We're all...
There was the word you used, precise.
I'm still uncomfortable with your use of impassionate earlier and your very quick changing of that to dispassionate and thinking that I'm somehow going to edit that out later. It's not going
to
happen.
Well, the fact is, look, let's just establish something here. You go out to Google, you search for the smartest man in the world, it goes to me. Okay? If I want to make up impassionate, I can do that. This is my business.
You're like the Stephen Colbert of the technical set, you know? Oh, I am Colbert and you can too.
Speaking of Stevens, Stephen Hawking is number 3 in that search. I am 2 places up from Stephen Hawking.
You search for the smartest man in the world, and you're 2 above Stephen Hawking?
I am number 1. Stephen Hawking is number 3.
Okay, so clearly there's something wrong with internet search all up.
Yeah, this just proves that Google is not useful at all. Now, live search, though.
I don't know. There you go. There's the Microsoft plug
Microsoft
right there.
As a Microsoft employee, I'm only allowed to use live search. So,
well, I was there. I became sort of distantly theoretically aware of live search. I never quite got around to... I wasn't one of those guys who searched everything twice, Google and live at the same time. Drove me insane. Plus, you search for Rory on live? What am I, like a bottom first page result? I thought that was crap. Obviously broken. That's what I thought. That was broken. If I'm not the number one search result. And I was not on Google for a while, but I'm pretty sure I'm back. Yeah. And for a while, for a couple of days ago, I was a first page result for $20 bill.
I'm so glad that your ego is the level of your kind of self-confidence and your general, like, the litmus test of how good is Rory, how well is Rory.
You know what I just realized? The only technical content we had in this entire show.
Was talking about Coco.
You said, oh, let's not have that conversation right now. I'm going to go talk to somebody who really knows. And then it's all been about
ego. It's about our fragile egos, our inability to have relationships without correcting people.
No, I don't think that's fair.
On Google.
I think all of us have very healthy egos.
I agree.
In fact, I mean, the one thing that relieves me, you're talking about big egos. My ego just barely fits comfortably inside of your 8,000 square foot house in the Rory sphere. It is amazing. Yeah, I heard it squeaking as I walked in the door as it tried to get through the door frame. You rub on it, it gets static, and all the other houses in the neighborhood cling to it.
The problem is the echo. There's so much space in this house. It's just the echo is kind of distracting.
Could you speak up? I couldn't hear you over the echo. I like my house. We work very hard for a house. It's also neat.
It is more done than the house I've lived in for the last 2 years.
This was bizarre. You came in this earlier today, and we fed you.
And, yes, you did. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And you said to my wife that in 3 weeks of having, we just moved in three weeks ago, and
it's insane.
It's unpacked. And you thought that was strange because your house, you've been in there for about 20 years.
No, I wasn't saying it was strange that you live like that. I was just saying how much better you live than how I live.
You're not unpacked yet. You lived in your house how many years?
It's been more than 2.
Wow.
Almost constantly renovating the entire time, moving boxes from this room to that room. Well, I like to think of it as the Winchester Mansion, my own personal Winchester Mansion. So,
Do you have any doors that open into brick walls, staircases that go nowhere?
We do have right now one door that opens into a room with no floor.
That's awesome.
I actually do have a staircase that goes nowhere. It's a duplex. They've sealed off the stairway to go upstairs to keep me out of the upstairs.
Do you ever send somebody upstairs to get something? Oh, run upstairs and give me a...
I would do that if people would come over, but people don't come over. For example, best friend Felix will not come over because I didn't have a couch. I had made a sofa out of my setup mat and my exercise bench, and that wasn't good for anybody. I couldn't have anybody over, but I did... Remember, I got my furniture yesterday. I got a furniture and a sofa.
Yes, nice.
You should learn about slip covers. They're really nice.
I've got it. If I want to, I can take this thing apart and make it pink tomorrow if I wanted to.
So wait, is it a sofa or a love seat?
It's a sofa with a chaise lounge at the end.
So it's a 2-cushion sofa, not a 3-cushion couch.
Well, it's like 2 cushions of the sofa plus the third cushion that belongs to
I see.
So it's a Davenport.
I don't know. It's just, I've never had a furniture before. I've never had one, and I'm new to this. I put it together myself. I was manly. I used tools.
Yeah, I know, but you said chaise.
Yeah, so that kind of throws the manly thing right out the window, doesn't it?
You have a chaise, though.
Well, let's
be fair. This is the only country in the world where people try to avoid saying croissant. Everywhere else, even if they massacre it, they would never say croissant. That is the ugliest word in any language. Croissant! Croissant!
That's how they say it at the drive-thru at Burger King.
I love it when I go to like Chipotle and the guy ahead of me is like, I'd like a beef burrito with some chimichangas and some carne asada.
Well, that's how it's pronounced.
No.
It is pronounced croissant, though.
God, I'm going to punch you as soon as this...
Whoa. You speak French, though, right?
Oui, je parle français.
Je ne parle pas en français.
Oui, je remarque.
Je suis. That's all. I have nothing. I don't speak French.
You guys
French.
Are turning me on over here.
Je t'aime, monsieur Sels. Je t'aime.
I don't know what that
je
means,
veux t'embrasser,
monsieur I've never wanted Sels. You more.
That is now my ringtone.
Get that on my face. I got nothing to say, remote.
Seriously, right. You must have to do some massive editing to pull anything at all useful or interesting out of this podcast.
I'm afraid that this is the 93rd show, and it is just devoid of content. And what little technical content is in here is about Objective-C, a language I still don't fully understand, even though Rory took up 10 minutes talking about it.
Okay, let's think about this, right? First of all, Rory added the only technical content to this. Second of all, you think this is useless? You give me the raw files, I'll cut you guys out, and I'll put this out on my site as a soliloquy. Just me, talking to myself about beautiful, wonderful things in a French accent and saying stuff that is interesting. My readers and listeners and watchers, my crowd, they would love this.
Yeah, this is completely worthless for your podcast, Scott, but you should definitely send it to Rory.
Hang on a second. This is very interesting. I think Rory just touched on something very briefly I want to talk about, because I know you, Chris, you have to go. But Rory, you said my readers. Like a possessive sense, in the sense of you are in some way... what's the word?
What you're looking for is awesome. All right? That's the word you're looking for. And I have over the past maybe year... completely, I've done my best to transfer my readers from being technical to being interested in
comics. Now, has this been painful for them at all? Have they had to unlearn a bunch of stuff?
Well,
or?
The foreign people get really confused. Like, if I do a post to my all caps idiot voice, they think I'm going crazy, which happened a long time ago. Of course, they obviously didn't notice. They think I'm schizophrenic, which I'm not. I'm bipolar, which is totally different.
Do you ever watch The Tick? Do you remember The Tick was the show? It was like a superhero show.
Oh,
it was on
dude,
Fox.
I remember The Tick.
And the very best superhero on The Tick was Bipolar Bear. And he would go, this looks like a job for Bipolar Bear, but I don't feel like getting up today. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Rory. Whenever I hear bipolar, I think of Bipolar Bear.
It's fine. You piss me off, I'll go tripolar on you. I mean, I got some problems upstairs. But listen, okay? So I changed my readers as best I could from being technical to being into the creative stuff.
Now, to be clear, you didn't actually change... They're new people.
I thought he converted the people, like changed into people who didn't care about
content. Exactly right.
Because Rory, as a blogger, isn't saddled with content. And
he's got a ton of content. Have you been to his site?
By changing his readers, he means swapping them out for people who care less.
For new ones. Right. Yes.
Well, what I'm doing is I'm trying to build a reader base so that I can go to a publisher and take, for example, I'm putting together a book right now. I've assembled my first book and I'm working on a second. And that's what I've been doing in my basement, right? And when I go to the publisher, I'm not going to be one of these little English lit staring at my shoes. I'm writing the great American novel idiots, right? I'm going to go in and I'm going to use all the negotiation skills I've picked up as an independent, at Microsoft anywhere. And I'm going to walk in there. I'm going to tell them, A, that I don't need the money. I'm going to basically spit on the table and I'm going to say, you can either make money off of me or you don't. And I'm walking. This offer's on the table for the next 10 minutes.
But as the world's self-proclaimed smartest man alive,
that's Google that proclaimed that. Go ahead though.
As the Google-proclaimed smartest man alive, wouldn't it make sense for your novel to be called The Great American Novel? I mean, that they seem to go together, that the smartest man alive would write The Great American Novel.
And of course, you know, the byline is by The Smartest Man Alive.
Right, The Great American Novel by The Smartest Man Alive.
I mean, I haven't decided on a title yet, but back to the readers, the point is that when I walk in to negotiate, I'm going to say, look, I already have several thousand people, you know, who are very dedicated to reading this stuff, and... There's a market there. A couple of my readers have already offered to steal it when it comes out. So I've got a market there.
So you're
there.
The new Abby Hoffman. Is that what I'm hearing?
Who's Abby Hoffman? I don't read books. I just write, okay? I don't know what these people do. I don't know any other.
You are the bipolar Stephen Colbert.
He's smart.
And you're the smartest.
I'm not saying...
Stephen Colbert is really quite smart.
I know. He is.
He's pretty smart. Wow. I really apologize, sincerely. This has been another... Very, very sad episode of Hansel Minutes. I think this was episode 93.
Did you see the tear in my eye right here?
I'm actually a little nauseous. I will hopefully next week interview my dad. He's going to talk about what it's like to raise someone like me. I think it could be a nice Christmas show.
That would be pretty cool.
Kind of neat. My dad's a really cool guy. I'll have him over and we'll do a show. And I will hopefully forget this show as soon as I can.
Yeah, you should never publish it.
Really
don't put
horrible,
this up.
Horrible show.
This would be bad for you.
Thank you, Chris Sells, and hello, Rory.
Thank you, Scott.
All right, we'll see you next week on Hansel Minutes.